Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Cocked your head to the side and said I'm angry. 5 days since you laughed at me, saying get that together, come back and see me. 3 days since the living room, I realized it's all my fault, but couldn't tell you yesterday. Forgiven me, but it'll still be 2 days till I say I'm sorry.
Hold it, now I'll watch a hoodwink. Does it make you stop, think? You'll think you're looking at Aquaman. I summon fish to the dish, although I like the chalet Swiss. I like the sushi, cause it's never touch a frying pan. Hot like wasabi when I bust rhymes. Speak like Leanne rhymes, because I'm all about value. Bert Camper's got the mad hits. You try to match wits, you try to hold me, but I bust through. Gonna make a break and take a fake out like a sink and ache and shake out like vanilla. It's the finest of the flavors.
Following our obliteration of Iran's nuclear program in Operation Midnight Hammer a short while ago, we warned Iran not to make any attempt to rebuild at a different location because they were unable to use the ones that we so powerfully blew up. But they ignored those warnings and refused to cease their pursuit of nuclear weapons. In addition, the regime's conventional ballistic missile program was growing rapidly and dramatically. And this posed a very clear, colossal threat to America and our forces stationed overseas. The regime already had missiles capable of hitting Europe and our bases, both local and overseas, and would soon have had missiles capable of reaching our beautiful America.
You know, the one thing that you might criticize Donald Trump for historically is he'll go out in public and do these press events and talk and ramble and say all kinds of crazy things, and you never know what's going to come out of his mouth. I don't know. War Trump is different. War Trump is on message. War Trump is clear. War Trump is scripted. You know, he's not inventing things as he goes. And every time he's speaking or putting out a press video and updating us on what's going on with this war, although, yeah, I mean, you know, is it a declared war? No. If it's not a declared war, what is it? Well, it's a military operation. Okay. Are people dying? Sure they are. Are we dropping bombs and flying planes and destroying things? We sure are. I mean, not calling it a war is a bit of a semantic exercise. Well, Andrew, you're a philosopher. You care about words. I do. But I understand that the importance of words sometimes is to use the one that communicates the thing right. And to call it anything other than war is, avoiding the reality, in my opinion. Like calling it the police action in Korea. I mean, you know, come on. Just because it's not a declared war doesn't mean it's not a war. You can say it's not a declared war. You know, it's a war without declaration from Congress. Okay, you know, well within the President's War Powers Act. But yeah, last year, after we in joint operation with Israel, which was a short war, you know, like one-day war, like the Venezuela war was one-day war, you know, in, out, done, okay? Although ongoing attacks against the boats, I don't know what you call that exactly. Kind of feels like war, isn't quite, it's not an invasion, you know. Anyway, that we took out their nuclear capability, yes, and they continue to build missiles. And they continue to menace their neighbors, and they continue to support terrorism, and they continue to do all the things that have made them a legitimate target of military attack if anybody was willing to actually do it. Finally, we were with Israel, or finally Israel was with us, however you prefer to describe it. And we have pretty clear objectives, which they keep repeating. They said it yesterday in the press conference with Pete Hegseth and Dan Kane, General Kane, and the president yesterday in this video. Same thing.
Our objectives are clear. First, we're destroying Iran's missile capabilities, and you see that happening on an hourly basis, and their capacity to produce brand new ones and pretty good ones they make.
Yeah, lots of missiles that they've been making. Not nuclear, that's important to understand, but still not nothing either. More on that in a moment.
Second, we're annihilating their Navy. We've knocked out already 10 ships there at the bottom of the sea.
Oh, we went from 1 to 10 pretty quickly, although the reports were that they had destroyed 9. We had destroyed 9 at some point pretty early on, and so the goal of getting rid of their Navy is the second plank or the second element.
Third, we're ensuring that the world's number one sponsor of terror can never obtain a nuclear weapon, never going to have a nuclear weapon. I said that from the beginning.
Do everything you can to prevent them from acquiring nuclear weapons. Yes, duration of the war. This is the first time that I remember the president saying anything like this. Remember that Pete Hegseth, yesterday Secretary of War, was very clear not to say anything that would limit the president, you know, in duration or scope or, I mean, anything, really, which is the goal of being the Secretary of War. You're not supposed to limit the president. You're supposed to execute whatever the president says, within the law, of course.
and we will easily prevail. We're already substantially ahead of our time projections, but whatever the time is, it's okay. Whatever it takes, we will always. And we have, from right from the beginning, we projected 4 to 5 weeks, but we have capability to go far longer than that. We'll do it. Whatever somebody said today, they said, oh, well, if the president wants to do it really quickly, after that, he'll get bored. I don't get bored. There's nothing boring about this. Do you agree with that, Pete? I don't think there's anything, Mr. General. I think there's nothing boring about it. Somebody actually said from the media, I think he'll get bored after about a week or two. No, we don't get bored. I never get bored. If I got bored, I wouldn't be standing here right now. I guarantee you that, to go through what I had to go through.
That part probably wasn't in the script when you talk about being on point.
We also projected 4 weeks to terminate the military leadership. And as you know, that was done in about an hour. So we're ahead of schedule there by a lot.
Yeah, I think it's still a question we want an answer to at some point anyway, which is what was the change in Iran that said this was the time to go? Because that was something that was mentioned yesterday in the press conference, the Pentagon's press conference. Was it the meeting of the leaders at which we managed to successfully kill a bunch of them? Maybe. Could it have been other things? Could there have been some kind of mobilization for an attack coming? They just really haven't said anything about that. So one question I think some people might have about this, by the way, before I finish up this, let me just pause. Go outside and look at the moon. The moon is amazing. It's supposed to peak for the eclipse here in about 15 minutes, but right now it is vivid red. John, it's the other direction. John goes to look out the window to the east.
Well, I went to look.
All right, John, we're going to do some physics here for a second. You ready?
Okay.
Where's the sunrise?
Sunrise is in the east and sets in the west.
Very good. So where is the moon right now if we're getting ready to have an eclipse?
Well, it should be over there.
Should be in the west, right? What way does that window look?
Well, it looks east, but I just wanted to look.
If the planet is between the sun and the moon, then the sun has to be, or the moon has to be in the west, which it is. We get a lot of these celestial events obscured by like fog or clouds or I don't know, Saharan dust. Anyway, today it's very visible and it's high. It's probably, 15 degrees off of the horizon line. So it's actually in a pretty good position of view. And it's a clear day, at least where I am. So go out and look. It's worth it. And then go out and look again in 15 minutes, which will be peak eclipse moment. So
I just wanted to look outside.
It cracked me up. Like, oh, there's a moon. I'm going to go look the wrong way. I like.
That's the only window
I have. It's a completely human response. I'm talking about the moon, and he's, oh, well, can I see it from my window?
Right.
They only allow me a very small window and to go outside on Sundays. Anyway, so back.
It's
that's
so
just
true.
Be aware. Okay, so what are we doing? Well, as often is the case, the explanation of the action or the war comes from Marco Rubio yesterday doing a brief press event.
The purpose of this is to destroy that missile capability. Why does Iran want that ballistic missile capability? What they are trying to do and have been trying to do for a very long time is build a conventional weapons capability as a shield where they can hide behind. Meaning, there would come a point where they have so many conventional missiles, so many drones, and it can inflict so much damage that no one can do anything about their nuclear program. That is what they were trying to do, is put themselves in a place of immunity where the damage they could inflict on the region would be so high that no one can do anything about their nuclear program or their nuclear ambitions.
Just, that's an important piece of this to grasp, which I had not previously. I still thought that the action, the war was justified, but what he's saying, think about how deterrence works with nuclear deterrence. Acquire enough nuclear weapons that you can project at a distance, whether through B-52s or B-1s or submarines or ground-based missiles, okay, that the enemy knows that if they launch theirs at you, you will retaliate in sufficient force to destroy them and everybody dies. And we hope that everybody doesn't want to die. We hope that nobody wants everybody to die. Big hope, okay, but that's the key to nuclear deterrence. Make the response so horrible that you are not willing to engage in that first strike, right? That's the premise of nuclear deterrence. What Iran had been engaged in, according to Marco Rubio, is a pattern of non-nuclear deterrence. Have enough missile capability, not long range, not reaching the United States. They don't really have that yet. But, you know, medium range, Europe, Africa, not that that's a target, but, you know, the Middle East, the Orient, that they can reach around their region with sufficient numbers that if they're ever attacked, they just launch everything. And even though it's not nuclear, you know, people can still die in non-nuclear explosions, that there's enough missile defense response capability that nobody is ever willing to attack them, because not that they can stop the attack, but it's a form of non-nuclear deterrence. You follow? That's what he's explaining. And then if they have non-nuclear deterrence, then nobody's willing to attack them again. Therefore, they're free to engage in pursuing actual nuclear weapons and nuclear attack capability, because even though they've only got non-nuclear capability, that's enough to stop anybody from being willing to attack them. So we attack them now to prevent them from acquiring the non-nuclear missile defense deterrence capability.
They are producing, by some estimates, over 100 of these missiles a month. Compare that to the 6 or 7 interceptors that can be built a month. They can build 100 of these a month, not to mention the thousands of one-way attack drones that they also have. They've been doing this for a very long time, and by the way, they've been doing it under sanction.
They're building missiles faster than we can build defense against missiles. It's math. That's it. It's a math problem. And the math problem is continuously working against us.
You see the attacks they're conducting right now? They're attacking airports. They're attacking hotels. They're hitting not just military bases. They're attacking our embassies directly. They're attacking facilities that have nothing to do with war or with military. And that's a weakened Iran. That's an Iran despite years of sanction. Imagine a year from now or a year and a half from now the capabilities they would have to inflict damage on us. It's an unacceptable risk, especially in the hands of a regime that's run by radical clerics.
There you go. I really appreciate that the administration, I want to hear more from Marco Rubio because he speaks the language the way I appreciate it. But Trump has been doing, a very good job. And you know me, I'm a routine critic of his. I'm not a MAGA guy. I voted for him 3 times. I voted against him 2x, you know, primaries versus general election. And, I'm not in the camp, but I am a supporter when he's right and a critic when he's wrong. That's something that makes me kind of unusual in this world. You have people who think that he's always right. They're dumb. And there are people who think that he's always wrong and they're dumb. I don't know how else to say it. Meanwhile, protests in Pensacola. The socialists are out. At least I love that they wear the shirts, that they're obvious about it. You know, we're the people for socialism and liberation. And here I am on Channel 3 explaining to you how socialism is great and how this is a terrible war because we're protesting under the protection of a constitution and police who are actually available to protect our right to protest, and they absolutely have it, in a country where you are allowed to say anything that you want and you don't have to fear being, you know, jailed and killed for expressing your beliefs. And it's a wonderful thing to live in the United States. It's a little weird to protest against killing leaders who killed protesters in their country to the tune of somewhere between 10 and 30,000 in the course of a week or two this year. It's a little weird to be upset about a government being decapitated that was responsible for killing protesters while you protest peacefully under the cover of a constitution and police power that protect your right to protest and you never even have to worry about being killed for your, you know, how many times did we see the Gaza war being protested over the course of the 2.5 years that it's been going on? Dozens, hundreds, how many times? Over and over and over again. And in the Gaza war, even the worst estimates say that maybe 70,000 people were killed in Gaza. That's a lot. No doubt. That's a lot. 30,000 of their own people killed in the space of a week or two. How many protests against Iran? Just curious, you know. How many times were you protesting when Iran would fire missiles at us or attack civilians, or even now as they're trying to kill our people and other civilians around the region? Just a, you know, consistency question from me, if you want to look at it that way. 524 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
For almost two decades, Bella Magazine has been celebrating the women of the greater Pensacola community. The tradition continues as Bella Magazine brings print to radio every month on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Tune in Thursday at 9 to hear latest health and wellness, philanthropy, stories on local businesses and women, fashion and beauty, home and garden, food and wine, travel stories, and more. That's the Bella Magazine Show, Thursday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
This is the story of the one. As a procurement manager for a hospital system, she keeps every facility in her network stocked and ready. That's why she counts on Grainger to be her single source for thousands of products, from disinfectants to lighting, air filters, and more. And with fast, dependable delivery, Grainger helps her keep every facility stocked, safe, and running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Markley Van Camp and Robbins. MDR. Weekdays at 11 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
But I was clearly on the outer edge of the nostril.
I know what I saw.
But there was no pig. I did not pig. There was no pig.
I gotta go.
No. No pig.
Good morning, 526 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And again, if you're just joining us or haven't heard, now is the time. Over the next couple of minutes, 10 minutes or so, you'll get peak eclipse viewing. It is beautiful. It is vivid. It is high enough in the sky that you can see it. And we don't have clouds. And man, that almost never happens in Pensacola. So this is, take advantage of it. It's beautiful. Go outside and take a look. Take your bad pictures. I mean, I did, and I posted them because that's what you do. You say, oh, look, I saw it. Here's a bad picture. NES Pensacola yesterday had a brief shutdown over what is being described as an unacceptable intrusion or an unauthorized access. The post that is up this morning on NES, maybe it was yesterday, on the Facebook page, our NES Pensacola Navy Security Forces personnel responded quickly and expertly to an unauthorized access. Naval Security Forces, Naval Criminal Investigative Service, NCIS, you might think of them as, personnel worked seamlessly with our local law enforcement to ensure the safety and security of the service members, their families, and the civilian employees who work and live at the cradle of naval aviation. This is a quote from NAS Pensacola Commanding Officer Captain Chandra Newman, Mamasan. She says, I would like to commend the employees who witnessed this incident and reported it. Security is an all-hands responsibility. Of course, we are at a heightened security status, generally speaking, because we're at war or at near war or, you know, war and analog, whatever you want to call it. The other issue that has been announced is that visitor access to NAS Pensacola is affected. It's affected. Visitor access to NAS Pensacola's areas of public interest, so, you know, the lighthouse, the museum, right, is available from 9 a.m. through 3 p.m., until further notice, all visitors, that's in all caps. No, it doesn't look like Donald Trump posted this. All visitors, just wanting to be clear, all visitors. All means all. Every time all says all means all. Over the age of 18 must be vetted through the NAS Pensacola Visitor Control Center, the VCC, at the south end. Navy cannot avoid acronyms. At the south end of Navy Boulevard. So you got to go in the main gate first, tell them you want to visit the museum, and they will grant you access to the installation. At that point, you're going to leave and go west on Gulf Beach Highway and then come around to the south end on Blue Angel Parkway through the west gate. So if you're going to the base, the instruction per NAS Pensacola is go to the regular gate first, get approved, give them your IDs, whatever, and then you can go to the actual access on the west bay, west part of the base where you'll have to show, presumably, whatever permission slip they give you at the visitor control center. So if you're planning to go or have visitors in town or, you know, what, whatever the case may be, just be prepared that the condition is different today than it was for a long time. 5:30 or 5:29 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. What else do we have going on? It made me laugh. Did you see the Tampa International Airport banning pajamas?
What? Wait a second. What?
And there's definitely a part of you that thinks, hell yeah, it's been time for a long time.
I'm going to do it tomorrow just to do it.
It's time to ban pajamas, according to their Facebook page at Tampa International Airport, after successfully banning Crocs and giving everyone the amazing opportunity to experience the world's first Crocs-free airport. It's time to take on an even larger crisis. Pajamas at the airport in the middle of the day. We know this decision can be disruptive to someone in your life. It's time to have a difficult conversation with them. You can do this. We and Phoebe believe in you. The madness stops today. The movement starts now. Help Tampa International Airport become the world's first Crocs-free and pajama-free airport. Do your part. Say no to pajamas at TPA. Yes, it's a joke, but maybe it shouldn't be.
Fox News, I'm CJ Pop. Day 4 in Operation Epic Fury. Israel taking the lead.
Black smoke rising above Beirut. Loud explosions heard in Tehran. Israel's launching attacks on military targets in the capitals of Lebanon and Iran. One objective is to deter pro-Iran Hezbollah from attacking Israel from Lebanon.
Fox's Jonathan Savage in London. President Trump with Truth Social posting U.S. munitions stockpiles have at the medium and upper medium grade never been higher or better. But what about the enemy?
The Iranian regime is going to run low on missiles and launchers well before the United States and Israel ends their campaign against the regime.
That's Fox's Trey Yinks in Tel Aviv. And primary season for the critical midterm elections begins today, with North Carolina kicking off the process, as well as Texas, for the heated races for seats in the U.S. Senate. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 60 degrees with clear skies here in Pensacola. Well, we are learning more about that security incident at NAS Pensacola yesterday. Commanding Officer Captain Chandra Newman says Navy security forces responded to an unauthorized access on the base. Newman praising employees that reported the incident, saying security is an all-hands responsibility. Also, now, until further notice, all visitors over 18 will have to be vetted through the Visitor Control Center at the south end of Navy Boulevard before they enter the base. Public access is available from 9 a.m. until 3 every afternoon, with screened visitors then using the west gate at the south end of Blue Angel Parkway. The Milton mother, accused of stabbing her 6-year-old daughter to death, made a troubling appearance in court yesterday. During her detention hearing, April Oliva began speaking of her daughter, Valerie, in the present tense, describing her hair, eye color, and birthday as if the child were still alive. The judge had to ask her to stop talking. Oliva also told the court she didn't know why she was being held. Her attorney requested a mental evaluation and a competency test. Oliva will remain in jail without bond. Her next hearing is set for March 16th. A Pensacola Beach home is heading before a county magistrate over an unpermitted renovation. Escambia County halted work at a house on Panferio Drive after the garage was enclosed, potentially creating livable space below the base flood elevation. That's prohibited in flood-prone areas under state and federal regulations. The property's representative says the enclosure was intended for storage only, and the owner is working to come into compliance. County officials say violations like that can impact flood insurance rates for the entire community. The case goes before a magistrate on March 10th. Well, the Century Community Redevelopment Agency taking steps to revitalize a blighted part of town. The board met yesterday, electing officers and agreeing to add 2 citizen members before its next meeting in June. The CRA has nearly $192,000 in the bank, accumulated through a tax increment financing plan approved back in 2018. So far, none of the money's been spent on improvements. The agency was established following a 2016 tornado that damaged or destroyed 40 homes and businesses in the area. It is 5:34 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We are going to be looking at some beautiful conditions today with temperatures warming up near 72 degrees, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 62. For Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, high near 74. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 61. Heading into Thursday, partly cloudy skies, high near 75 degrees. And Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 66. Second Active, Channel 3 News, First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now we've got clear skies. It's 60 degrees. Our next news at 6 a.m. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. And it appears we are again having issues with your money. Now we'll have that for you later on in this program. Your next news at 6, breaking news anytime.
Raise your glass as Wine on the Water, the Grand Tasting, returns to Wahoo Stadium on Saturday, March 7th. Enjoy fine wines, craft beers, and gourmet bites from Pensacola's top chefs, all set against the stunning backdrop of Pensacola Bay. Don't miss live entertainment and a croquet and rosé tournament, plus breathtaking sailing. Get your tickets now at givesacredheart.org. That's givesacredheart.org.
A better air filter on your air conditioner is nice, but it isn't enough. It takes a lot more than that to clean the air that you breathe. This is Todd with Gulf Coast Air Care. On Wednesday's Pep Talk, we'll talk about how to keep pollen, bacteria, and other pollutants out of your lungs. Remember what I always say, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Let's talk Wednesday morning at 9:30 on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
You don't have to keep jumping around the dial all day.
Start your morning with Pensacola Morning News, weekdays 5 to 9. Stick around for Pep Talk with Meg from 9 to 11. Then it's MVR from 11 till 2, Hughes Hewitt from 2 to 4, and Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin from 4 to 7. One station, one day, everything you need to know. News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
Chicken fried, a cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio.
Ayatollah Khamenei led a regime that brutalized its own people, launched attacks around the world for almost 40 years. So is the president right to take him out?
No, you're right about the Ayatollah. He was a brutal dictator. This is a murderous regime. But at the same time, it posed no imminent threat of attack to the United States.
This is a disaster. It is illegal. And the president is obligated under the Constitution to come to Congress and ask for an authorization of military force. He wouldn't get that authorization if he asked for it. Congress wouldn't vote to give him the permission to do it, but he's obligated to come to Congress.
So, two voices of not great reason from the Democrat side, but there you have Senator Chris Murphy. And you also had, of course, Adam Schiff before that, George Stephanopoulos, and who was it talking to Chris Murphy? Face the Nation, so that was Margaret Brennan. And joining us now, a little bit out of his normal time element, I really appreciate him being so flexible. I also appreciate him being available on Saturday when we talked to him when we were live during the breaking news event on Saturday. Jimmy Petronas is our congressman for District 1. Jimmy, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Great to have you. I thought you put up a pretty good post on this question about war powers, declaration of war, the ability to use force and all of that that the president has. So I'll give you the chance to answer. Obviously, the Democrats are trying to make the case that the president is not operating within the law. I think that he is. I know you think that he is. But can you explain why?
Well, so on my post, if you'll go to my social media, you see the play-by-play, how the notice was given. There's so many days that has to have a pullback of troops. But here's the dilemma. Those Democrats, once they get on national TV solo, their base has Trump derangement syndrome. When they go on TV, they have to bash the president. On the flip side, they know that this is an issue that is important and that you have to have a denuclearized Iran. One of the handful of times that the Democrats stood up at the State of the Union, this was one of them. When Trump, you know, brought it up about denuclearizing Iran, a whole bunch of Democrats stood up. They couldn't afford to be seen sitting down when the camera panned the audience for the world to see who stood with that philosophy or not. So, you know, again, these guys are talking out both sides of their mouth. The ones that are on TV demanding the War Powers Act, I guarantee you they were on MS Now or on CNN when they did those statements.
What I know, obviously, there's several senators who say they've got a War Powers resolution that they're going to bring. And I know you're in the House, not in the Senate, but still both houses, both chambers would have to vote on this. Do you expect to hear a War Powers discussion on the House floor? I know you've been involved in briefings and, you know, obviously you have a very slim majority in the House. What do you expect Congress to do, if anything, about what's going on in Iran this week?
Well, they're going to, you know, make every effort to bring it up on the floor of the House. Again, it's one of those messages that sounds like that we have to, you know, bring Congress in to approve it. But that with the actions of the president, then we're totally legal within his constitutional rights.
Yeah, what he's got 48 hours, he has to notify you. He's got 60 days to withdraw or to stop using military action if he does not get an authorization for the use of military force. Plus, it's a pipe dream to think that even a War Powers resolution does anything, because you'd have to – both houses would have to pass – both chambers have to pass it. Then the president has to sign it. He's obviously not going to sign it. He vetoes. There's no chance you've got an override capability. So this is all posturing at this point. Do you expect an AUMF? Do you expect an authorization for the use of military force? I would expect, or I'd hope for it.
Well, I mean, I would, as a Congress, I think if you had an up down vote forcing up this authorization force, he's going to get it. Which I think so, just simply because. I'm sorry, I still got this chest cover. There is support for what's been done, and I couldn't be more proud of the performance of our military.
No, I really agree with that. And, you know, it's one of the things you actually mentioned on Saturday is that I think we take great pride. You know, this is obviously a combined forces operation with Space Command, Air Force, you know, Navy and Marine aviators, you know, ground-based missile strikes, all of the things that are happening. But a significant portion of that is, you know, we start training aviators here, and Naval Education Training Command does a lot of training related to what's happening in the Navy right now across the world. So, you know, we have great pride in the operation that is succeeding right now in Iran, right?
Yeah, look, the men and women that are pulling off these missions, they got their expertise, their know-how, their skill, the ability to execute right here in Northwest Florida. So, I mean, just all across the panhandle, this is where the skills. I couldn't be more prouder, but more importantly, I think for those spouses and those families, thank you for sharing your heroes with us as they're in harm's way, trying to do what's right to create a peaceful world.
Congressman, there are three different kinds of questions that I'm hearing about, you know, what does this mean to me right now? Question number one, what does this mean about, you know, my 401k and the economy? Number two, what does this mean for the price of fuel? And number three, you know, what does this mean for my safety in terms of going about my daily life? And even if I'm traveling, you know, I had one friend who's going to be traveling in England, and she says, is it safe to travel? I'm like, it's safe to travel. I mean, I wouldn't go to Bahrain, but yeah, you're fine in England. But what are you hearing? What are you being told?
So on our website, we've got the latest State Department advisory, so you can get the play-by-play there. Oil prices, this is the way it's been dealt with. Oil prices already have seen an initial tick up. The OPEC has already sent out a message that they're increasing production. So with this already being anticipated, OPEC is trying to flatten the curve of any increase in the cost of oil by increasing production.
That is a great note. And Saudi Arabia has even said, of course, major member state of OPEC and major potential supplier of petroleum, they have already said that they'd even be willing to join military operations with us based on what Iran continues to do against them or anybody else in the region. So the fact that, you know, we've basically split OPEC down the middle with Iran on the one side and, you know, other suppliers on the other side is, I think that's a tremendous win for us. What are you hearing? Oh, you said the State Department stuff is posted on your website about security advisories. And then, you know, what about domestically? What about domestically, terror plots or that kind of stuff that people might be, you know, ask this question.
Yeah. So you can imagine there are security alerts all over. I know we were briefed yesterday by the speaker. There's going to be a heightened sense of security around Washington, D.C., simply because it's a high-profile target. So work will be a little bit different, but, you know, we're in a good place. It's our men and women that I care about in uniform that are at the tip of the spear with us.
You know, I thought it was interesting because I know some people ask the question, well, is it right for the United States military to engage in political assassination of a military leader? Well, in this case, I mean, yeah, I think the justification is clear for what this man has done. But look, they've been trying to kill Trump. I mean, constantly. This is Ted Cruz, Lindsey Graham all confirmed that, you know, it's not like Iran has been this, you know, docile, harmless, do nothing actor locally, domestically, or, you know, globally, right?
100%. I mean, we're always tracking those type of threats. But, I mean, I don't know if there's been a president of the United States that's had so many attempts on his life as this guy. And then as we start, you know, peeling back the onion, you find out where, you know, there are those ties of these radical groups that have been the genesis of their passion of wanting to do this.
Yeah.
You know, and unfortunately, you got instances like what took place out in Texas, you know, the loss of life there and with this crazy that has Islamic ties. I mean, just all the way around. I mean, you need to keep your head on a swivel, you know, and if you feel like you're in a place that, you know, potentially going to be of concern, then you need to be, you know, thinking about the safety of your family. I mean, don't be a knucklehead being in places where, you know, it's you know, a heightened sense of concern.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, look, I have advised for years and do practice myself. Get a concealed carry weapon, carry it, and always pay attention. And not just because somebody Amen. Who's upset about what's Amen. Going on in the Middle East, but just, you know, anybody. There's crazy people all over the place. And, you know, the world needs more people who are going to be sane and responsible, right? What do you think is the future here? What do you think is the – I mean, we're in the first 2 days, okay? So this is very early moments. But what do you think is going to happen in Iran? And, you know, I personally am not concerned about boots on the ground. I think this president, Pete Hegseth, they all know better than anything like that. But – you know, some people are saying we've seen this movie before, but what do you think is going to happen in Iran? What do you think the future of this engagement is?
So I think it's important, as I'm sure supply chains are being studied. You know, Iran doesn't have an unlimited supply of munitions to do this. You know, I can't see Russia, you know, being able to fight multiple fronts at one time. So, you know, Putin came out and condemned what took place. But that's about the best thing that he could do. He couldn't do anything else more than that. You know, does China try to do anything? The good thing about it is India is one of China's harshest critics. So I don't see India, you know, being supportive or allowing anything to take place. And it's interesting is Israel's how India have strengthened because how their trade agreements have started to really prosper from munitions, you name it. So. The world is really closing in around Iran, and it's no different than what we've seen with the response of the other Middle Eastern states that have participated because Iran is shooting at everyone. Well, I don't know if they realize that you shoot at everyone, everybody's going to shoot back.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I mean, it's almost – I'm trying to remember who made the point, but one of the talking heads on Sunday, one of the senators made the point that – if you ever wanted to understand the difference between us and them, we are deliberately targeting only military targets. We might make a mistake, you know, we might miss something, but we are deliberately targeting only military targets of necessity in order to accomplish very specific military goals. They are literally proving that they do not care. Indiscriminate death is their goal, as they are retaliating like wildly against everybody, especially against citizens and civilians, because that's who they have the ability to attack back. They're proving the exact thing that we say, which is we fight restrained wars for a specific purpose. They engage in terrorism for, you know, religious lunacy, essentially.
Well, I truly believe Trump does not, he does not support loss of life. Right. I mean, he's trying to do everything he can to just basically neutralize them, make sure that as many of the facilities are in place so those societies can rise up, as they're saying, rise up and take your country back. And so, I mean, it's a large task, but he's definitely trying to give that opportunity to those, including, unfortunately, you know, the memory of those 30,000 that have been slaughtered by the government.
Yeah. Last question on Iran right now, and it has to do with the future of global international agencies. The UN has clearly been not effective. You know, I mean, they're better than the League of Nations, but maybe not by much. Is it really time to start talking about a third stage of international organization, something that would have more capability? Maybe it doesn't have to involve the entire world. Maybe it's, you know, like NATO Plus or something like that. But is it time to start really talking about a replacement for the UN? Or do you think the UN has the ability to justify its existence ongoing?
No, I think the president's gotten the attention of NATO with what he's been doing with the Board of Peace. And the whole point is NATO's gotten so bureaucratic, it's gotten so woke, they have lost focus of what their mission should be. They just continue to consume, you know, hundreds of millions of U.S. dollars, and I don't know what their work product really is. So this is where the president has gone out and said, you know what, we're going to hit the reset button and start to move forward with a whole new solution. And the president has, you know, complimented NATO, but at the same time, it's kind of like a backhanded compliment because, you know, why would he start up the Board of Peace if NATO wasn't doing their job? Because they're not. So, you know, I appreciate what the president's doing. Competition is a good thing, and competition, especially when you may be losing U.S. resources, is another way to get their attention.
We only have about a minute left, but I did want to give you a chance to talk about the State of the Union. You wore your big red hat. Trump was right about everything. You gave your blue angel 3D printed to Pete Hegseth. I mean, kind of neat things. I thought the speech was fantastic. It hit all the points. You know, he's an entertainer, and he did his thing.
Yeah, the president hit all the right messages, at least in my opinion. I'm a little biased. But that was my first State of the Union. I thought it was incredibly well done. The guy's a machine. Here he is, almost 80 years old, and he was 1 hour and 48 minutes without a pause. I don't even think he ever took a sip of water. But saw a lot of history being made. And you know what? I think it was very important to note throughout all of this, he has been constantly publicly telegraphed, even at the highest level of the State of the Union, of what's going to take place in Iran. So, again, unless you've been living under a rock, and for some of those members of Congress that probably have, this was coming.
Jimmy Patronis, he is our congressman for Florida, District 1, Northwest Florida. Jimmy, as always, thank you for always being available, and especially over the last couple of days being so flexible. I really appreciate it, and we'll look forward to talking to you again soon, sir.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Absolutely. By the way, if you had been hoping to go out and get a you know, another look at the eclipse, I went out just a few moments ago, and I couldn't even see the moon anymore. I don't know if it's we got haze going on or if it's just too late. It's gone down below the horizon. You obviously won't be able to see an eclipse when you can see the sun. It's one or the other. because the planet's in the middle. So, but I did post a really good picture of the eclipse on
my
Facebook.
Goodness. Yes. You must see it.
It's fantastic.
I was admiring
it with you. Describe the picture, John.
Oh, it's amazing. It's so beautiful.
It's just a picture of black sky because you can't. it's hazy and it's an eclipse. So there you go.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit David's Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Did you know? Florida West Economic Development Alliance partners with local and state stakeholders to compete for companies that are considering Escambia County, the city of Pensacola, and the town of Century. These jobs, wages, and investment deliver real returns for our residents. These outcomes strengthen Escambia County's economy and protect taxpayer interests through disciplined, results-driven economic development. Learn more at FloridaWestEDA.com.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
So, what did I miss today?
Good question.
I'm Andrew McKay.
Chris Bryan.
Austin Price.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Oh, there you have it.
Fear will keep the local systems in line. Fear of this battle station.
Good morning, 5:55 here on News Radio 92.3, and pretty much all I do is Radio Gaga. I'm Andrew McKay, it's the Pensacola Morning News. If you want to take a look at the eclipse, it might be visible in some areas. I couldn't see it here at the station anymore, but somebody sent me in a good photo of it. It's still fairly light out, and, you know, it's still a blood moon as it's passing through. I know just here I wasn't able to catch it. Western horizon somewhere. Lunar eclipses are always, John?
On the west side.
That's right, because the
sun rises in the
There you
east.
Go.
Boy, all I did was look out the window.
I know, but it was so adorable. It was such a, like, an unreflective reaction to the information. Oh, there's an eclipse. Let me look out the window toward the sun. I love it. It's beautiful. All right. What else do we have going on? Nerd Prom. You know what Nerd Prom is, Joe?
No.
It's not Pensacon. Nerd Prom is what they call the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
That's, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because it's all of the people who are and were, you know, news nerds, grew up and got jobs in journalism, and then the best night of the year for all the journalism nerds is Nerd Prom, the White House Correspondents' Association Dinner, or the WHCA, if you prefer to say it that way, which nobody does, WHCA. Anyway, that's the one where the president typically shows up and kind of gets roasted, but then also roasts everybody a little bit. And everybody did it except, you know, Trump hasn't done that because the media hates him and he hates him. He's going to be there this year.
Really?
Yeah. Talked about it yesterday.
It's going to be the greatest ever.
Ever. He's promising, which it's a show. If the president's there, it's a show. It's been a disappointment that he hasn't been there. Scheduled for April 25th, he says, in honor of the nation's 250th birthday. Also, journalists are going to now acknowledge him as one of the greatest presidents and the GOAT. Greatest of all time.
I just wonder how he's going to roast, like, the media people he doesn't like.
I don't know. Because, good roasting is not hate.
Right. It's not.
It's good roasting is actually sort of love, but you know their flaws. That's why friends are the best roasters, because they love you and they know your problems and they're ruthless about exposing them. That's why, like, a good roast makes you feel affirmed and known and very, very ashamed. Anyway, that's the best. So I don't know. He says, Carolyn Leavitt, White House press secretary, says that it's going to be very fun. It will be fun. We'll see. I don't know what to expect, but... there you go. There's a theory out there. I'm trying to remember what year it was. I think, you know, in 2011, maybe it was Obama was there and he was making jokes about Trump back, well, long before Trump was a candidate, about the birther stuff. Remember, mm-hmm. Trump was a big you know, Obama birther. And, you know, the theory has sort of always been a little bit that Trump got his feelings hurt at that so bad that he ran for president.
Oh.
Or if you don't like that way of saying it, that that was the moment he decided he needed to run for president. I mean, you know, however you want, you know. So Obama gave him the idea. I mean, I think he had the idea long before that, but still.
Long before that.
That's just sort of, you know, one theory. Oz Perlman, the mentalist, you know, magician, is supposed to be the, and comedian is supposed to be the host.
Oh, he is so good.
Yeah, he's very entertaining. I think he was on America's Got Talent for the first time is where he got, became, you know, publicly known or whatever. So,
I want him to read the president's mind. Oh, yeah, boy.
That'd be, you want to get in there?
Run.
All right. Very interesting developments with regard to UWF and PSC board members at the Ethics and Elections Committee and also the Senate Higher Education Appropriations Committee last week and also yesterday. This is the Zach Smith and Adam Kissel Show. And we'll have that for you next. Listen up.